has that changed your
During the riots, when like a lot of statues were coming down and stuff, wasn't there a statue outside of the it was one of the big museums in New York, but I remember thinking, because everything was so crazy at that time, like I was thinking, my God, what if they go into the museum? because the thing is, I thought, you know, if you say that, I spoke to people about it at the time, just friends and stuff, and they said, no, that would never happen because the art is worth so much money. But then I was like, yeah, but who's running the museum? Like, who, there's apparently nobody who's going to ever say at any point, like, no, we can't just like cancel Michelangelo or something, you know? Because the people who are running the whole like bureaucracy, I guess, around the arts, around the public arts, are now all ideologues like this. So at a certain point, they have to agree with the idea that the art that they are there to manage or something, the art that they're there to preserve, we'll say, is actually evil and fascist. You know, so that's really worrying. I was kind of thinking maybe this stuff should be moved to Russia or something. I don't know. It's not safe in America
of freedom.
Anymore. Yeah. But anyway, I was going to write that, and then I thought, oh, I don't want to give them any ideas. I don't want to plant this idea in the head of one of these crazy people who's going to run in and start throwing paint all over the fascists. Artwork. It's not actually fascist, obviously, but you know, yeah. But I guess like this kind of, okay. So I mentioned that thing about Marxism today earlier. There was this with the kind of new left. There was this rejection. You know, they wanted to reject a lot of things about the Soviet Union, and part of that was that in some way, like under Stalin, there had been this cultural reactionary turn, and they wanted to, you know, part of the kind of Cold War Western left soft power kind of project was to create like youth culture and counterculture and very opposed to anything, you know, like I haven't read this stuff in so long, but didn't Trotsky write about how like you should basically preserve the best of bourgeois culture.
It was he was, I think that's in his the collected works on literary criticism.
That's right. Yeah. And he made a very good argument for that, you know, and which is one that I would agree with, which is like that, you know, the idea, the dream is that high culture is available to everyone, not that you destroy the best of culture and you make everyone just be, as I said, writing a PhD about The Simpsons, like, you know, this like crap kind of just middle brow culture. But also, you know, what remains of the best of high culture is often only accessible to elites, which is why it's so infuriatingly hypocritical that they try to cut it off for everyone else, you know, like, you know, so the same people who will talk about how, you know, who will talk about like, who will denigrate, like, say, people wanting their local town or something to be quaint looking, right? Like, that's a common thing. Most people like that. Those same people will live in a Georgian house in the city, you know, or, you know, and if you go into these kind of neighborhoods where people who are not just wealthy, but kind of have a lot of cultural prestige live, they're often places that have preserved old forms of architecture. They're often places that are near the great museums. You know, even I'm just thinking of in Dublin, another thing I share with Peter Hitchens is my love of trains. and in Dublin, one of the most beautiful tram services is this thing called the Dart, which goes right along the coast, and it basically connects all the wealthiest seaside beautiful Dublin neighborhoods to the city, right? So the people who need public transport the least have the most scenically beautiful tram service in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it connects all these places like Dunleary and so on. So these people, right, they live in these beautiful, preserved old forms of architecture. They have access to natural beauty because they get to live in these really high property value places where you can look out over the sea or whatever. And then they, but then they're ideologues against cultural elitism in a sense as well, you know, like because they prefer, you know, the modern to kind of, you know, the, what remains of the kind of aristocratic culture and so on. Yeah, so that is just a kind of general hypocrisy that annoys me, you know, because they will denigrate this kind of phantom of tradition, but still preserve the nice bits for themselves while cutting it off for everyone else, because they'll say, no, that's actually this, you know, this painting, you know, or this depiction of the human body is fascistic or something. I mean, this, you know, because even when I said I was going to write about this, I think I mentioned on that podcast, the first response of leftists was like, oh, that'll sound fascist if you say that. And then I thought, right, okay, so wait, if you're so you're saying that elites can have access to beauty, ordinary people can't, and if you have anything bad to, or critical to say about that, that's fascism.
Yeah.